We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. We're hanging out at one of our favorite places, Jimmy's Tequila and Carnes, right here off of Peachtree Industrial, guys. And we are fortunate to have our own Mike Conti with us today. He came out to hang out with us. And look, he is the voice of our Atlanta United. With the World Cup going on, we're going to do something a little different today, and that is talk some World Cup with you guys, because tonight Team USA plays at SoFi in L.A. It's their first match. And just kind of lay the foundation for you, because we know, Mike, we're going to be out and about doing these Michelob Ultra parties and hanging out. There'll be a bunch of people around the city as well taking in the World Cup. We know Atlanta has become and will be a destination. So, Mike, thanks for jumping on with us and hanging out. I think the first thing is everybody's kind of wanting an assessment of Team USA.
Yeah.
Can you give us a general broad assessment of what you think we are?
Yeah. I mean, look. In terms of just raw talent, this is probably one of the best U.S. men's national team rosters of all time, which is the good news. The bad news is when you compare it to the 47 other nations who are playing in the World Cup,
right?
We're probably mid, okay? I'm going to use a college football comparison, all right? If Argentina is Alabama, and if England is Georgia, and if Spain is LSU, and if Portugal is Ohio State, then the United States men's national team is James Madison.
Wow.
Or Tulane.
Okay.
Now, on any given day,
okay,
James Madison or Tulane
can play with those guys.
Can mess someone up,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Maybe one time out of 10. But there is a major, major difference in talent between, I'd say, maybe the top five or six nations in this World Cup, and then there's a second tier, and then the United States is probably in that third tier, where I think the best case scenario for the U.S. men's national team is to make the quarterfinal or later. The furthest that the USA has gone in any modern day World Cup is the quarterfinal, and that was back in 2002. If they do that this time, that I think will be a major achievement. I don't think they have any chance to win it. I think if you get past the round of 16, that's a historic accomplishment for the United States. It will mean they will have won at least two knockout games. Remember,
they've never done that.
We've only won seven matches ever in the World Cup. Like, the United States is favored tonight against Paraguay.
Right.
If they win tonight, you're talking about something they have very, very rarely done ever, which is win a match at a World Cup. So that's where we are.
Mike Conti joins us, guys, live, talking World Cup here. Thanks to Mick Ultra for getting to Jimmy's Tequila and Carnes. So in Doraville is the expanded field. So you basically win one game in your
You're in good shape.
In your group, and you're probably going to advance, right?
You're in good shape. You're not definitely going to advance. I think 4 points is the bare minimum you're going to need, because to Mike's point, in the past, in this group stage, which is what we're in right now, we haven't even made it into the bracket yet. This is the group stage. There are 8 groups of 4 teams. You play the other 3 teams in your group. It used to be that the top 2 teams in every group would advance into the second phase, where you go into the bracket, and it would be only 16 teams that would advance. Now you have 32 teams that advance into the bracket.
A little bit easier.
Okay. Yeah, which means you can afford, in some cases, to be one of the best third-place finishers in your group, and you can advance into the bracket that way. So there is a little more margin for error now. Like, for example, Canada probably was favored today against Bosnia.
Oh, they were. I bet Bosnia.
Is it done?
It was a 1-1 draw.
It's a draw. We need shootouts, Carl. We need shootouts in all the rounds.
No. Well, it was a 1-1 draw. Bosnia led most of the way. That would have been a major upset. Canada now getting the draw. It's kind of like in Major League Soccer. Right. They get 1 point. Bosnia gets 1 point. So now, if Canada wins their next match, they get 4. That's probably going to be enough to get them in the top 3. However, Canada at home in Toronto against a team that they were seeded higher than, they're going to look at this as a missed opportunity to get 3 points. And now that there's a little more pressure on them. So, like, tonight, if the USA does not win tonight, and I think there's a very good chance they are not going to win tonight, they at least have to hope to get a draw and get 1 point, and then put themselves in a position where hopefully going into their last match of the group stage 2 weeks or a little less than 2 weeks from now against, I call them Turkey, but I guess now they're known as Turkey A. I guess they've changed their name. You don't want to be in
Istanbul is Constantinople.
That's right. You don't want to be in a position where you have to win in that last match
right.
to move on. Too much pressure.
Generally, there's two good teams and two meh teams in every group.
Generally. But because the United States is a host,
right.
they got top-seeded advantage, basically, along with Canada and with Mexico. That was the advantage. They were the top seed. Unfortunately, they got unlucky because the other teams drawn into their group, Australia, Paraguay, and Turkey, are all mid. Like, none of them are great, but none of them are bad either. Mm. Canada got drawn into a group with Bosnia and Qatar.
Right. Easy pleasy.
Much easier. Mexico's group with South Africa.
How about South Africa? How tough was South Africa? They're playing with nine guys, Carl. Red cards being thrown around like they're playing poker.
Yeah.
And you're in Mexico City at El Azteca.
Yeah.
I mean, that's about as difficult as it gets for your first match in the World Cup.
They had no chance. And that's what the U.S. has to hope for tonight is that stadium, we know it as SoFi. It's called Los Angeles Stadium right now because it can't have a corporate name on it for World Cup. SoFi needs to be rocking tonight. It needs to be a home field advantage. If I were organizing the World Cup, Arrowhead Stadium is one of the venues of the World Cup. I would have had the USA playing at Arrowhead.
Makes perfect sense.
I would have wanted that.
That's Argentina's base.
That's right. But I would have wanted the noise and the heat and all of those advantages for the United States, but they decided to be on the West Coast, and we'll see if they end up regretting that.
There
Mike,
you go.
You say, and it's Mike Conti, guys, voice of Atlanta United, obviously talking soccer with us and talking about the World Cup, which starts for us, Team USA, tonight. The first game is everything. And, the emphasis, we talk about this during football season. Like, when we have to play the Saints, and Mike and I push this, it's the biggest game of the year.
Yeah. And if you lose, it feels like you're losing twice in the division.
Right?
In the division.
You got to start. Is this first game everything? And I'm looking at this. Tell me if I'm wrong. U.S. has won, or when they've tied in its opening game, it's advanced to the group stage into the knockout rounds. That's what you're saying?
That
That's why it's everything, right?
That's absolutely. Okay. And when they lose, historically, when they have lost their first match, like they did in 2006. They got blown out by, at that time, Czech Republic, now known as Chechia, I guess, in 1998, lost to Germany. They were out before they even got in the bracket. Same in 2006. Conversely, remember that magical team in 94?
They started beat Colombia.
After getting a draw against Switzerland, they beat Colombia.
They lose to Romania.
But they didn't have anything to worry about.
But then they hung out. Remember, it was a 1-0 game against Brazil.
Who won it all that year.
You held Brazil to one goal.
Yeah, at Stanford Stadium. So it does truly set the tone for everything, Carl. And again, you are favored tonight against Paraguay. Paraguay's best player got hurt in their last friendly last weekend. Okay,
so does Miggy start?
Miggy will, I would assume, start for them tonight. Miguel Almiron, Matias Galarza of Atlanta United, probably also going to play for Paraguay tonight. But their best player is out. Okay, now what I'm looking for tonight, Jason Longshore is coming up at the top of the hour. He's going to do a two-hour pre-match show from Mazzy's up the road in Norcross. So that's coming up at 6. He will break this down way better than I. But when we get the United States lineup tonight, here's what I'm watching. Is Chris Richards in? Okay, and you're going to start learning a lot of these names over the next couple weeks, okay?
Right.
But hopefully, if it's a good tournament, these will be household names. Chris Richards is our best center back, okay? The United States and the friendlies they played against Senegal and Germany over the last 2 weeks, I thought made some really bad defensive errors because defensively they looked a little slow. Tim Ream of Charlotte, Miles Robinson, formerly of Atlanta United, really struggled
really?
In those two friendlies because Chris Richards was out injured. Now, it sounds like it's possible, if not probable, Richards will play tonight. If that is the case, I feel a lot better about the United States going into this match because we'll have our best defender.
Guys, by the way, Falcon Report comes up. We'll give you a little Falcons later in the show in the 5 o'clock hour, especially the depth chart at right tackle and the offensive line with the moves made this week. Mike Conti is with us talking World Cup live from Jimmy's Tequila and Carnes in Doraville. The perception is we got Pulisic, but we don't really – can we attack or do we park the bus?
No, they'll attack.
So Pochettino's going to go for it tonight?
Yeah, I think he will. I honestly, this is one thing that encourages me about the United States, and I tend to lean more pessimistic when it comes to – here's what I'll say about the United States. For those of you who don't typically watch U.S. soccer, they're either going to impress the heck out of you or they are going to infuriate you. There is no middle ground. I was impressed in their last two friendlies that they were bombing forward, especially down the flanks with Dest and with Pulisic
kind of being a little more of a free roll. And that's what the fans want. I mean,
I
the casual,
think see that.
If not the soccer purist, the casual fan wants
I
to
think
see
you're going to see that, but it's going to be a little bit of a high wire act, too, where you're going to be maybe a little bit more exposed in back. And again, you know, Tim Ream, 38 years old, not the fastest guy in the world. Miles Robinson coming off that injury, struggling right now. Like, you're going to give up some chances. But I think the United States is really going to try to push the ball down the flanks and try to attack from wide positions and get some service into Balogun. That's another name you're going to hear a lot in this tournament. If the United States does well, you're going to hear Balogun's name a lot because he is our striker. He is our Joseph Martinez, okay? He is going to be that target in the box in the penalty area that they're going to try to get service to. But look for Pulisic and for Dest attacking from wide positions from the wings and trying to generate scoring opportunities from those wings. I think you're going to see a lot of tempo from the United States, and I don't think they're going to be trying to build out of the back the way that the Greg Berhalter teams were doing, you know, in 2020, what was that, 2022.
Man, great stuff. I'm excited. Are they calling Pulisic Captain America? What's the deal? Is that a nickname that he's picked up?
Yeah, I mean, look, Pulisic, like 7-8 years ago, we thought collectively in the American soccer community that Pulisic was going to be like the first American Messi or Ronaldo.
Okay.
Or like he was going to be the first major American superstar to thrive in Europe.
And Chelsea never knew how to use him.
Right. He's been good, but he hasn't quite reached that level yet. And prior to last week, when he scored against Senegal, I think he had gone like 24 matches without a goal across all competitions. So he had been struggling. He is the most talented player on this team. He has struggled over the last year. If he finds that form that I think he's capable of, the United States could have a really good tournament. And he's a Penn State fan. He's from Hershey, Pennsylvania.
AC Milan.
You know, I mean, lots to like about Christian Pulisic.
Well,
right?
I like the kid. I always liked it.
I think Captain America is a really good nickname.
If he
lives up to that, it's going to be a good tournament for the U.S.
It just seems like every generation there's that guy, you know, going all the way back to Freddie Adu.
Sure.
You know, and it's always they always seem to melt under the pressure. But this guy plays at a high level, one of the top teams in Europe. So hopefully it makes
it happen. Our lineup tonight is going to be mostly guys who are playing in the big five leagues in Europe.
That's why
I said, like, this is from top to bottom, I think this is our most talented group. The goalkeeper will be an MLS guy. He'll probably be Matt Freeze from New York City.
Yes.
You're going to see, I think, at least one MLS center back, either Ream or Robinson, maybe both, but I think probably Ream. There will be some MLS guys in this lineup, and it's not saying that MLS is a bad league, but the majority of the players you're going to see tonight are players who are seasoned in England, Germany, France. That excites me.
Me too.
That excites me.
Because that's what we need, right?
And they're battle-tested.
Yeah.
You know, look at Canada. And, I mean, they pulled one out of the fire because they were able to sub on guys who had thrived in Europe and they created something for them. That's going to be the United States, and hopefully this ends up being a really fun night tonight.
I hope so, guys.
Tonight, 9 o'clock, Big Fox.
Yeah, Big Fox.
And they have the spotlight tonight. You know, the NBA is not playing tonight for this reason.
Right. That's true.
Okay, so, like, again, I'll tell you, the U.S. men's national
team. NHL is off.
NHL is off. The U.S. men's national team sometimes will infuriate you. They've been given the stage tonight. Adam Silver stepped aside. Gary Bettman stepped aside. We're giving you the stage tonight. Please do something with it.
Yeah, get us inside it. Right. Get us excited.
Don't spit the bit.
Mike, great job. We're laying the foundation for you. If you're listening right now and you're going, man, I didn't know that. That's what this is about. World Cup. It comes around every 4 years.
Soccer conversation. We're giving you the primer.
But
trying.
But every 4 years, Mike, it's like the Olympics. You forget. You don't know everything or know everybody. We're just giving you the baseline. But, man, I'm excited to see what they do tonight. Want to remind you while we're talking about this, Mike Conti, thank you. Atlanta's radio home of comprehensive World Cup coverage is 92.9 The Game. Every night. Now through the end of the tournament, and Mike just mentioned it, Jason Longshore's on after we get done at 6, okay? He's at Mazzy's tonight?
He's at Mazzy's tonight,
All right, so they'll be giving away tickets up there, I'm assuming?
Yes, correct.
All right, so your chance to win, if you're up that way at Mazzy's, thanks to our friends at Michelob Ultra, but he's going to give you previews, analysis of every match all the way through the final on July 19th. It's brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer and by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor, FIFA World Cup 26, guys. That's Atlanta Soccer tonight, Jason Longshore tonight, and every night when we get done now through July 19th on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike, have a great weekend.
All right, guys.
Thank
you. Go USA.
Hey, by the way, and not to blow smoke, best boss ever.
High five. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're
talking about me?
Yes. Oh, come on.
When we come back, though, we will talk about the Braves. Grant's not going to join us, guys, but they have a big series against the Mets.
And they had a travel snafu, which I'm not sure Braves fans are aware of, getting to New York City last night this morning.
All right, stay tuned. We'll tell you all about that next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell. World Cup gets underway tonight for Team USA.
America.
out at SoFi Stadium. Thanks to Mike Conti for stopping by. Let's talk about the Braves, man, because, again, it was nice to get out of Chicago, right? We had lost two in a row. Yeah. Last night was a rain delay, so the game gets postponed. They rescheduled it for August 20th. Fine. But, Mike, we find out today, and I'm curious to know what you think about how this may affect them. It happens every now and then because, again, during a 162-game season, guys, you're traveling so much.
But there were some violent storms rolling through the Midwest yesterday. That's why the game got postponed.
So weather, played a role in their team charter. So they were trying to depart Chicago on Thursday. The team ended up having to wait on a different charter flight to get them in from Indianapolis. Then they took that one to New York City. Bottom line is the Braves arrived just before sunrise today. All right, usually, guys, if you're not familiar with this, game's over. Within, those next 2 hours, they're on a flight, and they're already in the next city
right.
hours before the next day begins. And it's, you know, sort of the rules with baseball. NBA's the same way. You got to be in the city 24 hours beforehand. But sometimes you get delayed. These guys going to be a little beat down, a little tired from this whole travel situation?
Shoot, man. Put the phone on no answer and just turn the blinds up and lock and roll, man. Get your 6 hours of sleep. You'll be fine. My biggest concern is how does Spencer Strider go up against – let's not give the Mets any life, okay?
Okay.
Mets are deader than Dillinger, as my dad would say.
They are.
Let's not give them any juice. By the way, Nolan McLean on the bump tonight kind of looks like Louis C.K.'s love child, and he's a ginger. But anyway, we'll see what he is. ERA 3.98, so he's all right. But let's see. I want to see Austin Riley. And how much do you and I – we talk to Grant almost every day about it. You know, what's up with Austin Riley? When's he going to get on track? When does he get that spark? Seems like the hitting instructor and the coaching staff has no answers for him.
No. Look, right now – and you're right about the Mets. I mean –
Eight games under 500, and because the Braves have been such an amazing clip, the Mets going into this series are 15 games out.
Yeah, it's you're right about not giving them any life, any hope for that matter, Mike. I mean, that's
right.
Ideally, we want to sweep them and just stick.
And by
it to
the
them.
Way, you know, by the way, you know, we lost. You know, the last game in Chi-Town, lost two. Phillies are just 8 games back.
Yeah, they've been on a tear, man. I mean, like if we hadn't been as hot as we have been, they may have caught us by now. If we hadn't been as hot as we've been. Problem is, they're killing it, and so are we. So there's been no real gain as far as, you know, you're not making up 5 or 6 games. They've made up a few games, but I give them credit. You know, they played better under Mattingly. I'm just curious to see how the Braves play tonight. And speaking of, you know, what we're going to get tonight, Mike, bottom line is there are some guys on their way back, but the Braves did tell us today that they returned Hurston Waldrop from his rehabilitation assignment and reassigned him from the injured list and optioned him to AAA.
And Drake is down in Jacksonville. Drake Baldwin, speaking of rehab, that's taken a minute now, hasn't it?
It has.
And I just hope, you know, he was in such a rhythm.
Was that a hamstring? What was that? What was the injury?
No, that
guys?
Was the oblique.
Oh,
the
that's
oblique,
right. That's right. That's right.
I'm literally sucking it in right now as we speak. I may be day-to-day with an oblique. But, no, it's just tough because he's been so consistent. Money Harris has been the one guy. Ironic, we got so upset with Money Harris the last couple of years about being like a half a season guy.
Yep.
Now Money Harris is that guy. But Drake, I hope he doesn't lose it. A couple of guys on the text line yesterday were saying, you really miss Sean Murphy. I don't miss Sean Murphy, but I understand you want to have some competent, you know, backup and a guy that can let him either have a day off or just DH, talking about, you know, our boy Drake Baldwin. But the other side to this is, you know, what's going to happen, you know, with Spencer Strider? Is he ever going to be the same guy? Or is it going to be one step forward, one step back? You believe in Spencer Strider?
I do. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. I just have come to the reservation that he's not going to be the guy we fell in love with a few years ago. The guy that had us in awe, that was throwing over 100 miles per hour, Mike, and striking out 10 or 12 guys on any given night, I haven't seen that Spencer Strider. I've seen a Strider that's competing and that is still working through some of the things he needs to work through. But I haven't seen that Strider that just came out and went, I'm better than you. And then he
swagger.
Yes. Right. And then he'd strike out 10 dudes, and you were like, man, I haven't seen that. So I just don't think he's going to be that, but it doesn't mean he can't be a very good pitcher for us.
Right. And then, as we said to Grant earlier in the week, and we talked about it with Tony Gwynn Jr. on Tuesday, I just hope, and I don't think I have to hope about this. I think it's going to happen. I think that the Braves and Alex Anthopoulos and his bosses realize this is a special team. And we've got to capitalize on this. And it would be interesting, though, to see the Braves, instead of being, like, reactive, be proactive. And be one of the first teams to maybe, hey, what do you want for Scooble? What's it going to take? You know, what is acceptable? Guys, we might not – I said this to Carl yesterday, I think. We might not have baseball next season. Let's go be the defending champs for a year or two. You know, and by the way, do you have, like, obviously J.R. Ritchie, Fuentes? They're going to want – teams are going to want them. And the Tigers, are they going to give up a generational Cy Young Award winner like Trey Skubal, who's now, by the way, finally getting back in, on track off the injury. They're going to want that, the family jewels. Are you willing to part with one of those two? I say go for it, man. I say go for it.
Yeah, look, you've got – and this is a discussion we haven't had, but we'll get into it maybe next week.
We got a long time. I'm just saying. I hope that we're – because somebody's going to make that phone call to Detroit.
But you've got – pieces in your organization, and Grant alluded to this. It's funny because everybody goes, oh, Braves organization, their farm system's depleted.
No, it's not.
It's not what you think it is. But I will tell you there are some valuable pieces that teams are coveting, and it may be one of those pieces in the farm where you're giving up, Mike, your third highest-ranked pitcher versus giving up a J.R. Ritchie, and you might be willing to part ways with that. But we can get into it, man. I just feel like, yes, if it makes us better right now, you know me. I'm all about right now.
Right.
I've never been
about – You always
about,
say, I don't give a crap about for you. Remember like those Braves fans, we can never leave Vaughn Grissom. Oh, how'd that work out with Chris Sale, right?
Right now.
Remember that? We literally had guys going, like, and I get it, Braves fans who follow the farm system, but they never want to part with anything. You've got to give to get. And to get a guy like Skubal in here, oh, my goodness. Imagine him – with Chris Sale in a what always kills the Braves? Best of five. Let's just say for argument's sake, we wind up with Phil here, whoever, in the wild card, in the divisional round.
Sure.
And I'm throwing Chris Sale and Tarik Skubal. Giddy up. I'll take my chances, right?
It would make us so much better. 404-726-0929. You guys can text us. We got to come back. We are live, by the way, at Jimmy's Tequila and Carnes. Great spot if you've never been out here. Come on out. Great food, great drinks, man.
What'd you go for to go
The same damn tacos you had.
Oh, my God.
Those Mexican style.
My wife's like, are we going to get those? Yes, I'm getting those too.
Yes.
Unbelievable. Great time. And by the way, thanks to Buddy producing today, engineering, I should say, Day-Day producing, Oren back at the ranch, and our new sales. We got a great promotional staff. Great people. Good people.
All right, when we come back, you're not going to believe what he says about what he should have done. Stay there. It's Dukes and Bell. All right, we do not have an NBA game tonight. It is tomorrow. Spurs, Knicks. We'll see if the Spurs rebound. But I gotta read this to you, Mike, and get your thoughts on this. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, guys. We're at Jimmy's Tequila here off of Peachtree Industrial. So this is from Trey Young. Trey says that he wishes he never played it safe when he injured his ankle against the Bucks in 2021. This is the Eastern Conference Finals. Trey says that if he had not done this and basically playing it safe, that the Hawks would have won the championship. Now, you guys may frown at this and think it's sour grapes. Mike and I have said this for years.
I'll die on this freaking hill. I will die on that hill.
Trey killed the Bucks in game one. He had 48, for those who don't remember.
Game one on the road.
Correct. All right, so he goes on to say, and I'm just reading this to you because Trey came out and said this. He was doing one of those podcasts or whatever. But he basically said, if I knew what I know now, I would have played through my sprained ankle. My agents were telling me not to play. Why?
You know what,
But think about this. Why? Because he was thinking about the Supermax contract.
The Max contract's coming up.
Okay. So they were like,
Well, how about you listen to your heart and not your agent and just do the job? That's why Trey Young wears me out. And I know we went round and round with the Trey fans. You guys run stars out of town. He's not the dude. If he was the dude, he'd have played. And this is like passive-aggressive, revisionist, bull blank,
now,
if I'm honest.
He says –
because we could have beaten the Suns. We had enough talent because the Suns were soft as Charmin. Milwaukee, you know how that played out.
He said we were two games away from going to the finals. We had beaten the Suns twice that year.
Yeah, well, maybe you play next time.
You never know when that opportunity is going to come again. You ain't lying about that, Trey. And then he says, that's one thing that breaks me. I wish I would have just triple taped it and put an ankle brace on top and played through the pain.
Yeah, me too. We all do.
Okay. That's just frustrating.
All right, Day-Day's got a comment. Get on it.
That's just frustrating.
No, Day-Day, look,
No, because I'm just – I'll say this.
What?
He's telling us, though, that –
it wasn't ultimately all just his decision not to do it. Like, he wanted to do it.
Well, do it. You're the star. You're the guy in the locker room. The agents aren't in the locker room. Team Trae Young is not in the locker room. You want to play? Freaking play.
They're not, but you got to think about it. These guys, the players, I mean, they're looking at it from – they have to listen to the advice of the people who are helping them plan their financial future.
Like, if Trae had to have ankle surgery in the offseason, the Hawks still wouldn't have given him a contract?
They would have.
Big time.
They were not ready then
to cut bait on him,
no,
Danny.
Not at that time. You're right. But I hear you. And that's the dilemma, guys. That's the behind the scenes stuff that most people aren't privy to. It's like, oh, dude's hurt. No, dude wants to play, but his people and his advisors are telling him it's in your best interest to not play. This could harm your long-term viability. And here's the point that Day-Day's making. I agree with Mike. I think if he had surgery and if it was that in the offseason, they wouldn't have moved on. But God forbid, if he tapes it up, triple tapes it and puts a brace on it, re-injures it even more, and now this becomes a looming injury for Trae Young and he's never the same player.
Right.
That's what his agents are saying.
Then he's Grant Hill.
And now you're not getting the big
bag. But that's the same thing happened with Jason Tatum in Boston. That's why Tatum, it's in a freaking elimination game.
Yeah.
And he had the same, he made a business, you made a business decision.
He did.
You didn't make a Celtics decision or a fan, you made a business decision. I appreciate Trey's frankness, but it's like, okay, well, yippee-ki-yay, let's get a time machine and figure it out next time.
Either way, that's out there. Don't be mad. I'm just telling you what he said. And he's never said that, by the way. That's never been said.
No, that's a piece of new information.
All right, Mike. Let's talk about this depth chart, man, with the Falcons. What's going on?
Hey, man, we talked a lot about, you know, really liking Storm Norton's game, and now you wonder if Storm Norton's ever going to play in the NFL again. 2 years in a row, Storm Norton's got a – speaking of ankle injuries, apparently there's some parts that aren't working properly. So Storm Norton is out. He's done for this season. And now he's on the reserve pup list. It's going to be, you know, Wayna, we found out, pronounced Wayna Morris, who's part of the Chiefs' backups. So he's now this. I hope this is simply as a swing guy to replace Storm Norton, not to replace Juwan Taylor. But we did hear from Bergeron earlier this week. He goes, and Juwan's dealing with his thing. Remember, our eyebrows went up. Like, what's that about? All of a sudden, now offensive line, we got some issues.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what next week looks like. Who's playing with the first team? Because it's mandatory minicamp. You're not. I'm not telling you these are the guys that are going to start in September.
Right.
But it's probably the guys that'll start in September. You're not running guys out there to just get reps. You're trying to get quality reps with the guys that are going to be on the field, which is why we've talked so much about Michael Penix being available and whether he is going to be cleared for 11-on-11 or not. So I think next week, Mike, we learn a little bit more about the depth chart of what this O-line looks like.
Right.
Then we get to camp in July, and then we really find out. Because at that point, now guys are battling for jobs. There may be some jobs on the line here, but it's not as serious yet because we haven't gotten to training camp. But I want to see what that looks like next week because I think that's going to tell us what we're looking for.
Right, and you and I had talked about, you know, thinking out loud, is Ryan Neusel going to be okay? Sounds like they're confident in him. Been really no discussion about an upgrade. Now, there will be some battles. They brought in an undrafted free agent from Miami. They brought in some other guys who could play that position. But we wondered how Callahan – and maybe Callahan gets even more out of Neusel. Because I thought there were some times last year, you're like, against really, you know, again, there's only like 4 or 5 in the NFC, but against more of the better nose tackles or the three technique guys, he struggled at
times.
Well,
look.
He's undersized.
He's undersized. That's it. I mean, it's not that he can't field his position, but we like to say he doesn't have enough lead in the butt, right? He just doesn't. He's not going to hold a 350-pound D-tackle off of him that's as strong or stronger who's getting that push up the middle. And so that is part of the Neusel, you know, development. But I thought he did a really good job, and I think they do like him, Mike, because I thought maybe we might even draft a center, and we did not do that.
Nope.
So.
Nope. So we'll see. I know that, by the way, JT Akers hits us up on Twitter. Previous conversation. Apologize. I had to laugh at this. He goes, you know, Michael Jordan would have told his agents to stick it with the sun don't shine.
Yeah.
Taped it up. He'd have punched the trainer out.
Yeah. Look, I hear you, but you got to think about how, like, Trae is, he's in the infancy of his career when we went to the playoffs in 21.
Right. Well, how many times are you going to have a chance as a Hawk to go to the finals?
But that's what you're realizing now. Now I'm about to be 28, and I'm going on year 10, okay, or whatever it's about to be, 9 I think it is for Trae. It's a different perspective, but I just find that interesting that he even says that was an option. Like, maybe I should have done that. And maybe that's been on his mind for a long time. Either way, like we said, we wish Trey the best. But he's reminiscing, guys, because he didn't play this year.
And for guys who don't remember, we assume everybody remembers, Trey trips and catches feet with a referee.
Official.
On the sideline going up the court.
It was brutal. It was brutal. All right, man. This weekend, let's talk a little bit about tonight. We hope we get a good outing from Team USA tonight.
And if you're a big soccer fan, we kind of switched it up. The little Falcons right there did basically a U.S. World Cup primer with Mike Conti at 5 o'clock. Check it out on the Odyssey app and rewind. But like I always say to Carl, I'm always underwhelmed by Team USA. Pochettino is going to deal with the apparatus.
So you're going to be ticked off about 10 minutes in.
Well, I mean, just can we ever kick ass at soccer? No, because our kick-ass guys don't play the sport. We've got five guys who play in Europe who are really good, and the rest are just meh. And that's the reality, and that's why we're 16th in the world. So you'd think as a country, if we were ever, by the way, the soccer headquarters is now 5 miles from my freaking house.
Yeah.
And Arthur Blank stepped up, and really he wants to see this thing go to the next level. But I want to see some badasses play the sport. They don't. That's my beef. Hopefully that changes.
Yeah.
And some American kids tonight will watch this and go, yeah, that's what I want to do. Well, I'm not going to be a defensive back. Well, I'm not going to be a shortstop. I'm not going to be a point guard.
But, Mike, the only way that happens, okay, is you are inspired by the play you
see. Correct. 100%.
When Michael Jordan, for those who forget, hits the shot for North Carolina in the Superdome, right, and wins the championship, every kid was like, I want to do that. Mm-hmm. He inspired you. Then he goes to the league and inspires you even more. And then he wins championships. And guess what? I want to do that. Who's doing that for soccer? So you're right. Kids are going to watch.
Right.
But if it's not inspiring and it's 0-0 and it's a tie or it's 1-1, I mean, like, that's the difference. You have to be inspired. That's why I was brought up Pulisic. If Pulisic goes off in this tournament and the Captain America label is everywhere and everybody's talking about the kids then say, I want to do that. But that's what we're missing.
But, I mean, and Pulisic seems like, again, he plays for AC Milan. You know, again, he's one of the elites. But it's like we had Clint Dempsey. Clint Dempsey was a tough kid, tough background.
He was.
And we need an entire team of Clint Dempseys. You know, kids who come up the hard way with that chip on their shoulder. I just don't see that. Now, again, we're going to learn about these personalities. If you guys, soccer fans, listening, going, shut up, Mike. We have these guys. Okay. Well, let's see what happens.
Shut up, Mike.
Shut up, Meg. You know, I mean, it's just get ready. For instance, we're going to talk to Josie Altidore, I think, next week.
Yeah.
Josie, down in Brazil, 2014, hamstring.
Done.
It's done. Like just we're star-crossed when it comes to U.S. soccer.
All right, man. Speaking of soccer, stay tuned. Jason Longshore's he's got you covered. He's up at Mazzy's. We talked about this. And if you want a chance to win.
I heard he's doing the show with no shirt on today.
That's a first.
Yeah.
Won't be his last. Michelob Ultra. Our folks are up there. You want a chance to win tickets to see World Cup action here in Atlanta. You will have that chance. So make your way up there if you're not in that area or if you want tickets, man. We will be continuing this throughout the next 4 or 5 weeks, guys, as we lead up to the national – the semifinal game, should I say. We get one, and who else gets the other semifinal? We were talking about it. Atlanta and –
Jerry World.
And Dallas.
Dallas and Atlanta. That's right. The championship game played at MetLife.
MetLife.
With $150 – train ride to get there from Manhattan.
It's expensive. Hey, man, have a great weekend. We got to get out of here. Stay tuned. Jason's got you covered. He's going to fill in all the blanks for you as we get ready for Team USA's first match tonight in the World Cup at SoFi Stadium out there in L.A. Hey, Bubby, thank you. Big shout-out to Bubby, our on-site engineer. And Dave.
He's the man.
Out here, executive producer. Mike, a big shout-out to everybody here, man.
And thanks to Jaeger, man. One of my boys over here, man. This guy, legendary bartender. Doesn't tell me this guy wasn't in CNC Music Factory.
He's so damn silly. Come on, let's sweat. Hey, man, let's get out of here and clear our throat. Hey, thanks to all of our guests, Brad Bakken. I wanted to make sure I got it right.
Yep. It was good. He had some strong opinions on the Hawks, too.
Absolutely. Really good when it comes to NBA Finals. Make sure you go back, check that interview out. Also, Steve Koonin, very entertaining today, talking about all the things that are going on with the Finals, our team, and so much more. Hey, and also, we got to give a big shout-out to the Dogs. If not now,
when? Well, that's a tough test with Texas, man.
It is going to be. Look, but they've got all the talent to do it. And by the way, we just mentioned this. You got the Player of the Year now that was announced for Georgia. Let's hope that they can carry the momentum from the Super Regional into the College World Series.
And, hey, dog fans, whether you're making a run to Home Depot or going to grab a beer somewhere, we got the games. All the Georgia baseball games and the College World Series are right here on 92.9 The Game.
All right, we got to get out of the way, man. Have a great weekend, everybody. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Hey, man. We heard the Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton say, if you come at Texas Tech, we're going to come at you. What the hell is going on? Carl, is everybody on drugs in Texas? Don't answer that, because the Attorney General from Oklahoma is calling on the Big 12 to suspend Sorsby. You're not in the Big 12. You're in the SEC.
That's right.
Some people are saying, with all due respect, Oklahoma Attorney General, what the blank are you talking about? Now, I'm glad that he's feeling his oats, but we need the logic and the brains and the common sense to come out of the great state of Texas soon, sometime.
Hey, man, I don't know what the Spurs do tomorrow, but if they somehow find a way to get back to New York, can they make this a series? Understand they've led in every one of these games late, and they've just not been able to close, including the 29-point debacle. I'm not counting them out yet, even though I think the Knicks should win this series. But this Spurs team's resilient. Can't wait to see what happens tomorrow. Hey, have a great weekend, everybody. If you love the show,
tell your friends.
If you don't.
You dropped 50 on Bosnia-Herzegovina. Friggin' tie.